What is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it's Wednesday, March 27th. The NFL rolling on. The owners' meetings coming to a conclusion here. We have some news to talk about there on the show. I want to tie up some loose ends on some news and notes from the past week, including some big retirement news from around the NFL. And I want to slow a particular hype train that I've seen gaining momentum on Twitter. So we're going to pump the brakes a little bit on one of those hype trains on the show today. Before we do, of course, go check out profootballfocus.com. A lot of great stuff going on over there. We've continued to cover the AAF, if you've been following that league. Has been really entertaining, I have to say. And I've been doing projections in the wide receiver cornerback matchup chart, in addition to rankings every single week for the AAF. Of course, it's NFL draft season, though. We're under 30 days away from the NFL draft. Hallelujah, indeed. The NFL offseason always feels like it takes a lot longer, but this offseason is going rather quickly. We're almost at the draft here. In just under a month, we'll be there in Nashville. I'll be down there myself, but you can get yourself geared up for the NFL draft with the Pro Football Focus NFL Draft Guide. It's such a great resource. If you're just a fan, if you're a dynasty player, if you're just a redraft best ball player, whatever it is, it's a great resource for you. You can get that with the Edge subscription or an Elite subscription over at profootballfocus.com. So go check that out today. But as I said on the show today, I want to first address some of the news from around the NFL. And the biggest news this week, of course, New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski hanging him up, at least, well, for now, announcing his retirement on social media. And this happened on Sunday night. Lots of speculation on this over the last two seasons. In fact, last year, around about this time, I said, hey, if you have Gronk in a dynasty league, trade this dude immediately. And the logic for it is pretty simple. There is nothing worse in a dynasty league than having to cut a guy. Because when you cut a guy, you get nothing in exchange for him. And honestly, the goal of a dynasty roster is very different than the goal of a redraft roster, in that you want to keep churning and staying as young as possible. In redraft, hey, at the end of the season, you can wipe your hands clean of that team and move on to the next year. Even in keeper leagues, there's way too much emphasis on youth in keeper leagues, because youth ultimately really doesn't matter in most keeper leagues. Unless you are keeping close to a dynasty roster, there are some leagues out there that sort of toe the line in between the two, where you're keeping a good chunk of your roster year over year. In those leagues, I get it. But if you're keeping one player, if you're keeping two players, even if you're keeping three players, age isn't as big of a factor as skill and opportunity in the upcoming season. You keep your three best players, your two best players, your best player in whatever those formats may be. But in a dynasty league, you want to keep churning. You want to keep churning. You want to get as young as possible. And you certainly don't want 28-year-old players who have, you know, essentially three careers worth of injuries pondering their retirement, even if they are as good as Rob Gronkowski, even if they are at such a premium position where if you have a quality tight end, you have an advantage over your opponents almost on a weekly basis. So anyway, that was the advice there. That's, by the way, why I've continued to say that I will trade away Antonio Brown right now. And it's not that he's pondering retirement whatsoever, but he's 31 years old. And I'll talk about, you know, a little bit more here in a minute. But I want to tie a bow on Gronk, at least for now. In the NFL, at this time of year, we will hear a lot of times the word generational get thrown out. It got thrown out about Saquon Barkley and so on. Generational, in a pure sense, in a football sense, means once in a generation. So we can't really have generational players, especially at the same position, every year. It gets thrown around so much that it loses its meaning, right? It's used far too frequently. So I'm going to contradict myself and really call Gronk a generational talent. I mean, when you think about his career, it spanned the last 9 years here. And early in his career, it was Gronk or Graham, and now it has recently been Gronk or Kelce as that sort of fantasy debate. But I don't think there is, you know, certainly in the earlier part of his career, there was no debate whether or not Gronk was a better tight end than Jimmy Graham. Receiving tight end, different story. Right, sure. Right there with Graham. But Graham, let's face it, was a wide receiver, basically. You know, he is a wide receiver playing the position. He's not going to be blocking. Gronk was a complete tight end in that sense. And even, you know, Kelce, a more complete tight end than Travis Kelce. Kelce has been one of the most dynamic players to play the position in NFL history, arguably. I don't think that you could argue against that. Just the athleticism, the size, the physicality that he brings, he's right up there with some of the best ever who have played. And the resume that Kelce has built up over the last three seasons is, you know, is really, really impressive. But Gronk's resume over the course of his career is really staggering. When you consider, you know, hey, he got out the gate, 10 receiving scores in his rookie year. All right. I didn't buy it. I will tell you honestly, I didn't buy it initially because I'm a numbers guy. I'm a stats guy in a lot of senses with when it comes to fantasy. And he only had 546 yards, 42 catches in his rookie season. 10 touchdowns. With that yardage total, with that catch total, is completely unsustainable. Now, luckily for all of us, in his second season, which ended up being statistically the best season of his career, Gronk asserted himself, you could say. 1,327 receiving yards, 17 touchdowns, 90 catches. Yeah, then we knew for sure that he was not a fluke. It was his first number one finish at the position for fantasy purposes. And the 330.9 PPR points he put up that season is the most ever scored by a tight end. So it was the greatest fantasy season for a tight end in fantasy football history. Now, the injury started shortly thereafter. That was the problem. And he never managed to get through 16 games again. He did play 15 games in 2014 and 2015, and he was the top fantasy tight end. He was the number two fantasy tight end in 2017, but it was really the injuries that hampered him and made him somewhat of a volatile option for fantasy purposes. We know when he was on the field, he was elite for fantasy purposes. This past season, you know, we did see the decline there, but even over the course of his entire career, he averaged 15.4 PPR points per game, 4.5 catches, 68.3 yards, 0.68 touchdowns per game, almost 0.69. So close, but regardless, just an all-time great. But we really did see that sign of decline this past year, and he was a major disappointment. Now, of course, he sort of looked like his old self in the playoffs, and he gets to ride off into the sunset here. Now, there have been some folks out there who've left it on the table that Gronk could return at some point. So if you're in a dynasty league and you weren't able to trade Gronk before this point, you're not going to be able to trade him now. But I don't know if you cut him just yet either. Either way, boy, the Patriots, they have Julian Edelman and, I mean, really nothing. They've never had a great receiving group in the Gronk era. But wow, Philip Dorsett's your number two right now. You have Matt Lacoste and Jacob Hollister as your top two tight ends for fantasy purposes. Yikes. This really takes even more wind out of the sails of Tom Brady. The declining fantasy stock was already there. I mean, he's a quarterback two option at this point, and low upside at that. So it's unfortunate there, but, you know, either way, a fond farewell if this is officially the end here for Gronk. It was a pleasure to watch him play football. Oftentimes, we sometimes are spoiled by what we see in the present, and we, you know, have to look back to realize how great some of these players were when we were seeing them play. Gronk is one of those guys. Incredible. So much fun to watch play. So good at the position. Just a freak. Now, a couple other players did retire this past week as well, who were also pretty fun to watch play, but maybe not all-time greats. Jordy Nelson retiring after 11 seasons and Jeremy Maclin after 9 seasons. And it's interesting because, you know, Jordy Nelson, we are not very far removed. We're just over 2 years removed from Jordy Nelson being an elite fantasy option You know, it's kind of crazy how quickly this happens in the NFL. But again, going back to my earlier piece of advice here, the downfall, the decline of players happens very, very, very quickly in the NFL. And so in dynasty leagues, it's important to get out ahead of that and make moves when you can make those moves. So in 2016, Nelson puts up 14 touchdowns. He had 97 catches that year. This was returning from an ACL injury as well. But then we did see signs of decline in 2017. You could have chalked some of that up to Brett Hundley, although it did not seem to impact Davante Adams as much as it did Nelson. And then last year was really the end of the line. Yes, it was in Oakland, but he didn't get much of anything out of Jordy for much of the season. He was a factor down the stretch. Let's not forget he had 10 catches in week 13. He had 9 catches in week 17, 7 catches in week 16. But ultimately, he was not the same player that we knew from earlier in his career. And when did we see that last great season for Jordy? He was 31 years old. It happens very quickly for a lot of players, that decline in the NFL. So I'm not saying that it's going to happen immediately for Antonio Brown or anything like that, but I would think sooner rather than later would be an optimal time to unload Antonio Brown. And I see you guys on Twitter. I see people asking, what would you trade Antonio Brown for? What I'm going to do in that regard, and this is coming up here in April to get everybody set up for startup drafts and for rookie draft trades in dynasty leagues, I'm going to put together some trade values because I know it's really difficult to figure out what is a player for a pick. You know, what's equal value there in rookie drafts, right? Some people just have a feel for it from playing for so long. But if you're in the situation where you don't really know, you don't have a feel for that, you're not alone. You're not alone. So I'm going to put together some stuff there to help you out in making those trades. But Jordy Nelson will be moving on to greener pastures, as will Jeremy Maclin. Maclin even younger. He'll turn 31 in May. So, but again, he's another guy who has not been the same player for quite some time. We saw him put up a 1,000-yard season with the Chiefs in 2015, where he had 8 touchdowns. He had 10 touchdowns the previous year with the Eagles in 2014. Maclin, a factor early in his career, but you know, wasn't even in the league last year, so was faded from the fantasy consciousness. So not likely that, you know, he's floating around on dynasty rosters. Anyway, just wanted to mention that. So let's move forward here. The NFL owners meetings, we had a few potential really intriguing options on the board. The overtime option or the overtime proposed rule change from Kansas City was tabled. So we'll see what happens there. But the alternative to the onside kick was not approved. That being said, a few things were approved by the NFL owners. First and foremost, blindside blocks are completely eliminated. They were already limited, but they're completely eliminated. I mean, player safety is obviously very important. So, you know, that's a step towards that. But of course, the big one here, the one that, I mean, is this the can of worms opening up? Some people say, is this making the game better? We'll see. But the approval has been made for both defensive and offensive pass interference being now reviewable. So you can review these plays so that things like what happened in the NFC Championship game will now be reviewable. Of course, within, you know, the last 2 minutes of each half, then it's reviewable by the booth. Otherwise, these questionable plays will be, you know, you can challenge. So we'll see. I don't think this really does much for us for fantasy purposes. I think the biggest step that we need to take as a fantasy community, and this is a step that, you know, I'm sure all of the commissioner sites are listening to this podcast, but hey, ESPN, hey, Yahoo, hey, NFL.com, hey, My Fantasy League, hey, Fantrax, hey, who am I missing? CBS. Can you add in an option for us to get some points for pass interference? And I don't think it has to be the yards. I think, you know, if you draw a pass interference maybe it's a two-point play for the quarterback and for the receiver or something along those lines. I don't have a solid solution here just yet. Or, you know, you can make it so that it, whatever, each league can set it up however they like. I don't think you should get the yards for it. I think that's a bit excessive. But in the same right, these are difference-making plays in games. And when a receiver draws a pass interference or, you know, the quarterback throws into a situation where, you know, he's throwing his receiver into a situation where he can potentially draw a pass interference, then they should get some points for that. So, Commissioner Seitz, hook it up. Hook it up for 2019 and beyond, making fantasy football better. Of course, free agency still going on. I mean, we're even maybe beyond phase two at this point, because now it's going to be the guys who are just floating around there. Isaiah Crowell, one of those guys, going to visit with the Raiders here tomorrow. The Raiders, of course, also talking this week about Marshawn Lynch. Mike Mayock, who is the general manager over there in Oakland, said that Lynch is going to make his decision following the draft. So see what the Raiders do ultimately here. When you look at the Raiders depth chart, it's pretty obvious that they do need to address the position. They're not going to roll into the season with Jalen Richard. Sorry if you own these guys in Dynasty, by the way, don't get your hopes up. They're not going to roll into the season with Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington as their top two guys. I think they want those guys to be a part of this offense, but they need something else there. And somebody like Isaiah Crowell would make a lot of sense, because this is a guy who can give you quality work in early downs. I mean, he's not a stud star or anything like that. Obviously, he wouldn't be on the street right now if he was. But he's a guy who, you know, he's capable out there, give you early down work. And for fantasy purposes, if he lands in a spot like that, he is going to be relevant at times. It's just, it's going to be hard for him to sustain any sort of consistent value. But either way, that's going on there. Jay Ajayi still on the street right now. The Athletic reporting this week, nothing doing, at least in the short term here, between the Colts and Jay Ajayi. That's been the one team who's been linked to him the most, other than the Eagles. In fact, Ajayi's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, confirming that he's still talking with Philly. Right now, Philly, their depth chart is arguably worse off than Oakland's, because they have this hodgepodge of guys who are pretty much all Jags. You have Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, Josh Adams, and then DJ Pumphrey and Boston Scott as like scat back options, special team potential options there. Not much doing there, so you would figure that the team is going to address the running back. Is it signing one of these guys off the street, or is it drafting a running back? I would think the latter would make more sense, but then again, sometimes things don't work out that way in the NFL draft. So we'll see. This is a team that has been very willing to sign undrafted free agents and then give those guys a lot of work during the course of the season. Let's not forget, Clement undrafted, Adams undrafted. So there, you know, we don't know exactly what the Eagles are going to do, but there's opportunity there on that depth chart. In terms of the Colts, you would think that Marlon Mack would be a little bit more solidified there as the lead guy, with Nyheim Hines doing some pass catching work out of the backfield. And then Jordan Wilkins is there as well as your number three. Wouldn't seem like there's as much of a need for the Colts to address the position as for Philadelphia. So I'd expect Ajayi to remain a free agent for quite some time, honestly. There's instances like these where these guys could be free agents throughout all of the offseason, even into the preseason. Buffalo released Chris Ivory this week. So Ivory was once part of the backfield that contained three guys over 30 years old. Well, now they got rid of one of those guys. There was a time in Ivory's career where it looked like he was just on the wrong depth chart, and all he needed was, you know, a change of scenery, a new location, and he could be something big. There was the whole free Chris Ivory movement, you know, in fantasy Twitter for a while there. Never quite happened for Ivory, at least on a full scale. The best we saw to him was in 2015 with the Jets, and that's sort of the unfortunate thing. The free Chris Ivory when he was with the Saints, He ends up going to the Jets after that, so he wasn't entirely released on the NFL. If he went to a different spot, maybe we'd be, you know, singing a slightly different tune about him, but he went for 1,070 yards on the ground in 2015. He added 30 catches as well. Jacksonville in 2016-2017, not much doing there, and then, of course, really was limited, relegated to sort of backup duties in Buffalo this past season. At this point, entering his age 31 season, just turned 31 last week. Happy birthday, Chris Ivory. May not be long for the NFL at this point. We may not see any more fantasy relevance out of Chris Ivory. We will see fantasy relevance out of Jordan Howard, however, but the Bears have they've really not eliminated the option of trading him. I mean, they're basically saying, hey, he's in our offense for now, but he's available, pretty much. That's not a direct quote, but Matt Nagy saying they're always open to trade talks. And this, I go back to last year when Nagy was hired as the head coach. I said, Jordan Howard is not a fit. And sometimes in fantasy players will look to stats and try and make arguments from stats while overlooking situations. And in this instance here, the situation really suggested that we shouldn't have believed in Jordan Howard last year. And I was vocal about it. Now, when I say that I wasn't high on Jordan Howard, I didn't think he was going to be like the 60th fantasy running back. My point was pretty simple. He was just being overdrafted, overvalued where he was, and I would never draft him in that spot. That's all it was. It was an evaluation of situation and then trying to properly value him. And I thought he was valued about a round too high by fantasy drafters. Either way, he's still there. If he's there, he's going to be about in the same range, which means he's basically a back-end RB2 in that offense. And if he goes, they don't necessarily right now on the depth chart have somebody to fill him, because they're not going to give those carries to Tariq Cohen. That is not his role in that offense. So if they do trade him, you would expect them to address the position in the draft and, you know, possibly bring somebody in there. I mean, they did bring in Mike Davis, but I don't know if he's necessarily the guy who they want to be carrying the load there either. And when you look down through, as much as I like a guy like Ryan Nall, that's the deep dynasty, you know, preseason geek out in me. But Ryan Nall is not going to be a guy who's going to fill those shoes if Jordan Howard does go elsewhere. John Lynch saying that Jerick McKinnon will not be going elsewhere. He's going to be with the 49ers here in 2019. So that means that backfield is going to be a headache. There's no doubt about it. I do think ultimately Tevin Coleman is going to be the early down back. Jerick McKinnon is going to be the primary passing down back. But we're also going to see Matt Breida and probably Raheem Mostert. So yay. Not good for fantasy purposes. It's tough to endorse drafting any of these guys. I mean, they're going to be drafted. McKinnon and Coleman are going to be drafted, but maybe you just don't want to be the guy drafting or gal drafting those two players in your fantasy drafts this year and in your best ball leagues as well. Try and limit exposure to them. I do think in best ball, though, there is worth some exposure, because if Coleman got hurt, McKinnon is going to see a bigger role. If McKinnon got hurt, Coleman's going to see a bigger role. I mean, think about it. Breida will be there, but it won't be three-headed anymore. It'd be two-headed with a little bit of Mostert. Anyway, Marquise Lee, let's talk about some injuries. Doug Marrone saying he expects him to return late in the preseason. That's not a good prognosis there for Marquise Lee. It's not a good prognosis for Nick Foles as well. Foles needs these receivers to be healthy. I'm not very excited about this situation. It's more of a run-heavy offense, and there isn't a ton of talent at wide receiver there for Foles, so keep that in mind. Doug Baldwin, it's going to be a sports hernia surgery in April, but we're coming to the end of the line with Doug Baldwin. We really are. If you had him in Dynasty, you unloaded him already, but if you can get him, maybe throw him in a package deal and get rid of him at this point, it'd be a good idea. Darius Geis expected to be a full go for training camp. That's good from Jay Gruden there. Good news. And, you know, there's certainly a scenario where Adrian Peterson isn't on the roster when the season starts. I'm excited about Geis. We've heard Gruden talk about Geis as being a potential three-down option. But he needs to get on the field first and foremost. And then Philip Lindsay not going to be ready for OTAs. But OTAs, I mean, that's not the end of the world there. It's a wrist issue. Obviously, the wrist injury that Lindsay suffered at the end of last season that will continue to keep him sidelined. But as long as he's good to go for training camp, then we should be, you know, perfectly fine with Philip Lindsay here in 2019. Now, I mentioned I want to slow a hype train. And here's the hype train that I'm going to try and slow down a little bit. And I know that me alone, I'm going to be screaming into the void here. But the hype train is about Chris Godwin. And, I mean, we're hearing a few things or a few news blurbs that came across this week. First and foremost, Jason Light saying that Chris Godwin can play a lot like Larry Fitzgerald on the inside in Bruce Arians' offense. I mean, that should not come as a surprise. It's something we talked about on this podcast, and that was right after Arians was hired. I said I wasn't worried if DeSean Jackson stayed because Godwin was going to get the better role in the offense, and so we're just getting confirmation there. But the bigger quote here came from Arians himself, and Arians said Godwin can be close, and the direct quote is, close to a 100-catch guy. Okay. First and foremost, before we take this any further than we need to take it, let's realize who said this. This is Bruce Arians we're talking about here. This is a guy who once said that David Johnson could get 30 touches a game. That's 480 touches in a season that ain't going to happen. Bruce Arians throws out numbers, but he is not suggesting his projection for Chris Godwin is 100 catches. That is crazy. There is not enough meat on the bone in this offense for Godwin to have 100 catches. It just isn't going to happen. So everybody out there, all the fantasy analysts out there who are telling you that Chris Godwin is going to break out this season, well, first, maybe they didn't watch him last year when he broke out already. But second, what is a breakout? I think we have to define a breakout. He was the number 26 PPR wide receiver last year. So what is a breakout? Is a breakout now top 10? Because he is not going to finish top 10 given unless Mike Evans gets hurt. Are they going to stop throwing Mike Evans the football? Are they not going to get the football to their tight ends? There's not enough meat on the bone here for Chris Godwin to do what some people are suggesting he's going to do. Now, going back, I talked about this already, though, and I said, hey, this is a guy who I think we're certainly going to see an uptick in his target share. We're certainly going to see an uptick. So a 20% target share for Chris Godwin, which is more than reasonable, that is bigger than what Adam Humphries saw last year. That was a 17% share for Adam Humphries. If we have a 20% share. That's a big share. That's 118 targets. 118 targets. He's not catching 100 of 118 targets. He's not Michael Thomas and catch like 90% of his passes. I mean, his career catch rate, he'll catch about 75 balls. And that's not bad. That's still pretty darn good. You know, he can go up over 1,000 yards. He can score 6-7 touchdowns. Is that bad? No. But what it also is it's top 25, but it's not top like 18. You know, you have to put him at like the number 20, 21, 22 wide receiver. Now, is that a breakout? I don't think it is because he's only moving up just a little bit from where he was last season. And this is where sometimes the fantasy industry does you, the listener, you, the fantasy player, the consumer of this content, a disservice because people sometimes gravitate towards these narratives and they say, this guy's going to break out. This guy's going to break out. And then what does that mean? They never tell you what it means. So you hear, he's going to break out. He's going to break out. And then he ends up getting overdrafted as a result. And then people get disappointed and say, well, he didn't break out. So you suck as an analyst or whatever. Or even worse, that the player is no good or whatever it might be. So do we think that Chris Godwin, let's pull this back. I'm sorry, went off the rails there for a second. Little therapy session here for Big JR. So let's pull this back. Do we think that Chris Godwin's going to break out this year? I don't think so because I think it already kind of happened last year and he was the number four receiver. Do I think Chris Godwin takes a step forward this year? Abso-freaking-lutely. I'm not going to sit here and say then I don't buy into that. Now, come on. I certainly think he's going to take a step forward. But if we say he's going to break out, then his ADP is going to go into places it shouldn't go. It'll go up into the fourth or the third round, and it shouldn't go there because he's not going to be a value at that point. Right now, if I'm saying he should be 20, 21, 22, 23 in terms of the wide receiver taken, that means he's a fifth round pick. And really, you're looking to hopefully get him in the sixth round. Of course, the hype train, though, will push him up and probably you won't get him out of value. But, you know, that's really what we're trying to say here. Right now in best ball drafts, you are still getting him at a value. He's going later than that. He's going typically in about the seventh round. So sixth round feels good. Fifth round, all right, I'll take it. Anything higher than like maybe mid-fifth round, and it's going to be too rich. Because I just don't think there's enough meat on the bone there in Tampa to sustain anything more than that. Because let's be clear, Mike Evans is going to get his. And this isn't going to be a B juju situation very likely where we have two guys on the same team in the top 10 because that's just so rare. But still, two guys in the top 25, top 24 as a wide receiver two or better on the same team is pretty darn good. So just keep that in mind. It does bother me sometimes when I see these hype trains sort of get out of control, and Bruce Arians did not help things by saying a 100-catch guy. He did not help things. So anyway, let's pump the brakes just a little bit on the Chris Godwin breakout hype train. All right, that is going to do it for us on the show today. Go check out everything we have to offer over at ProFootballFocus.com. If you want to get one of those Rat Pack t-shirts, JeffRatcliffe.com for you there. Of course, on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, hashtag Rat Pack if you're a listener of the show. That's how you get in touch with me the easiest way. Otherwise, I will catch you on the flip side. For Pro Football Focus, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.